At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. And we've got some big things to get into this morning. Some absolutely shocking statement coming out from Ruben Amorim around Bruno Fernandes. I mean, look, the big thing is he's got to drop him. We'll talk about that. Also, some ex-players again, media, saying there's no more excuses for the manager. And yet the same excuse for the manager is the same excuse that Jose, Ten Hag, Ollie, Ranić all had. We'll talk about that as well. We'll talk about the start of the season, transfers, is Onana gone, what's going to happen with the midfield situation, and obviously your great comments as well. But unlike many analysis around Manchester United, where it's projection, I think we've got to self-reflect. I actually think the best place to start is self-reflection and not projection of we should do this, we should do that, because we are culpable. As a fan base, collectively, we are culpable for the state of this football club. I take responsibility myself, and I think we all have to as well. A football team is only as strong as its weakest link, and our weakest link at the moment is the midfield. And we are weak because of it. I think we have a good defence, I think we have a good attack, but we have a weak midfield, and that stops us getting results. Likewise, as a fan base, we have a weak element that dragged us all down, and we have to take responsibility for it. What am I talking about? We don't learn lessons. We never learn lessons. You know, a couple of weeks ago, there was going to be a protest ahead of the Arsenal game from the 58. And it got cancelled because the 58 got ridiculed because we'd signed Šeško and we thought we were signing Belhiba. And the fan base decided to ridicule that group for running a protest ahead of the Arsenal game, saying now's not the time when we're making good signings. Here we are after two games, we've got 1 point and people would love a bloody protest. And I said it at the time, year after year, decade after decade, we as a fan base fall into the same trap all the time. A couple of new signings, we don't want to protest. A couple of bad results, we want to protest. And we all have to take responsibility for that. Because I bet we all now think, I wish we had had a protest before the Arsenal game, because the message stays the same. The club is not being run properly. But we might sign Šeško, we might sign Belhiba, so we don't want to do protests. And it's this flip-flop change of opinion that allows us to be what we are. Very consistently inconsistent. I've said it before, other clubs around the world would have removed the Glazers, but we as a fan base can't, because we flip from one emotion to another too quickly. We've now got people saying Amorim needs to go. I've never heard such nonsense in all my life. We are now accumulating last season's results and comparing them to Gary Neville at Valencia. I'm sorry, I thought we'd written last season off as an absolute shit show and that this was a rebuild from the summer. So why are we looking at 28 games? We should be looking at two. And it's this constant manipulation and moving of the goalposts that puts this football club on the hamster cycle that is becoming so boring and repetitive. We can't protest if we sign a good player. If we lose a game, protest. If we lose a game, it's going to be on the owners until we actually lose the game, and then it's Amorim's fault. It's always the manager's fault. And we haven't got a midfield. We haven't got a goalkeeper. And our striker's not ready for the season, because yet again, we have treated August like pre-season. And this predates Amorim, it predates Sir Jim. It's been going on for years. Year after year after year, we treat August like pre-season and we have bad results. I'd love to run a statistical analysis of our points accumulation in the first three games of the season over the last 10 years. There's a bit of journalism for you. Manchester Evening News, Athletic, Daily Mail. Go and get us the facts on how many points we've got on average in the first three games for the last decade. Because I would hazard a guess it's below six. So I think that ultimately there is a lot to get into, but I just want to say at the start, we've got to stop making the same mistakes. There are a lot of things for us to talk about this morning, but we have got to self-reflect. It's the same boring stuff. I can see people screaming and shouting about getting Amorim out. I'm very disappointed with a lot of things yesterday, and we're going to talk about it. But please understand that at no point am I, and I think many of you, saying we should sack the manager. I still firmly believe that we might have 4 points from 15 after Chelsea and Man City. Beat Burnley, lose to them. But I also firmly believe that by game 30, we'll be in a better position, because I don't think our season's really going to get going till game 10. And I think that's when we need to start winning every week. I think there are signs that we can do it, but there are also massive, massive problems. And the first place to start is going to have to be the midfield. I actually thought the comment from Amorim last night was absolutely shocking. And I'll read you the comment here. He said after the game, Bruno is not used to missing a penalty. He knows that every moment in this context can give a huge impact on the team. I felt that during the game, he was not happy, not so involved, because he had so much responsibility and he felt he missed the penalty. It was huge for us. So effectively after the game, Ruben Amorim talking about Bruno Fernandes was that he was impacted by that penalty. He wasn't happy and basically had a bad game. And obviously the question has to be, if you're watching what we're watching and you know he's having a bad game and you know he's impacted, why did you keep him on the pitch? And you have to take responsibility for that. I was stunned last night. I almost went live again, but the fan forum was live and I thought I'll leave it till the morning show. I was absolutely stunned. And then he said about Maynou's in direct competition with Bruno. And I was like, it's like Ian Beale being in competition for a role with Brad Pitt. Like, you're never going to get the role. So what are we, you know, I'm baffled. But then I saw a clip from Maud's this morning. And I'm sort of clinging on to that. Because what Maud's basically said on his clip was, Bruno will be dropped. Bruno will be dropped because last season we have got no number 10. Ahmad was injured for half of the season. Rashford, Garnacho, Anthony, Sancho obviously didn't deliver. So we needed Bruno. You've now got Mbeumo. You've now got Mount. You've now got Cunha. Xerxes fit. Ahmad's fit. In the number 10 position, we're not reliant on Bruno. So we're putting him in the midfield, where it's clearly not working. So the next step is Bruno has to be dropped. And the big question is, will Amorim do it? And it's a very logical and sensible, and I wouldn't expect anything better from Maud's, because I think he is very logical and sensible and speaks a lot of sense. It's true. We don't need Bruno as a number. I would play Bruno as a 10, but we don't need him as a number 10. And he's certainly not a midfielder. So the next logical step, and I think we're speaking logically here. I think the match reaction yesterday was brilliant. I read a lot of the comments. I watched it back. I thought it was very, very calm, frustrated analysis, but not over the top. And I think this morning we will do the same. This is not sensationalist. I don't care for people who have their tissues out and a Bruno poster. I'm not bothered about Player FC. And I'm not bothered about Bruno's shit. Let's get rid of him. I think Bruno is a fantastic player. I think he's a fantastic number 10. I think he's an accident in the midfield. And the next logical step is to drop Bruno. Potentially sell Bruno, obviously. I don't think we've got time to do that, but certainly drop Bruno. He is an absolute problem in that midfield. We don't need him as a number 10. He should be dropped from that midfield. And I think that if the penny hasn't dropped with Ruben Amorim, then it's going to cost him his job in the longer term. And that's not Amrim out. I mean, we're talking maybe in the next 18 months, but he cannot continue down this road. It is absolutely not right to be stood there after a game saying Bruno played badly. You could see he was playing badly and you kept him on for 90 minutes in the midfield. Like, he should have been taken off. And to sit there and say Mainoo is the understudy to Bruno when you've just said Bruno played shit, that's just shocking to me. So we need to see Bruno taken out of that midfield, and we have to get to a point, and I will say this with total and utter conviction and honesty. I like Bruno Fernandes. He's been a brilliant servant to the club and he's a very, very good number 10, but he is not a midfielder. And I have seen Jurgen Klopp sub Salah. I've seen Son be subbed for Spurs. I've seen clubs' best players be subbed. I've seen De Bruyne get taken off by Pep. Man City and Liverpool have been way more successful than us over the last decade, and they will sub their best player. Why is a football club finishing 15th scared of subbing their best player?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
And this needs to change. And it's not sensationalist, and it's not screamy, shouty, ranty time. It literally is, logically, if you're stood there after a game saying Bruno played badly, but you kept him on for 90 minutes, and you're stood there after a game saying Mainoo, who's not had 1 minute, is the understudy to an underperforming player, then you need to sub that player and drop that player. And that's the next step. And I feel no remorse or no guilt, because ultimately, this is football. And when a player's not playing well, you get subbed. This is Manchester United. We cannot be a club that doesn't sub a player because they're more powerful than the club. It's ridiculous. And you're undermining your authority as a manager. So I'm hoping that Maud's has the take of the season that Bruno is going to end up getting dropped, because I don't see a place for him in that midfield. It is hurting us. It cost us yesterday. It cost us against Arsenal. And he's got to make the change. But we do need to make signings in that area as well, because I'm not going to sit here and say that Mainoo, Casemiro and Ugarte are going to solve our problems either. But the next logical step has to be Bruno being dropped. It has to happen. And I like Amrim, by the way. I like Amrim. And I still think that it's ridiculous to me to hear people start saying Amrim out. And I don't think we are in any way, shape or form, a community that hides away from any topic. You know, we might give it short thrift and not talk about it for more than 20 seconds. But on the Amrim out movement, shame on you. Shame on you for having low IQ. What are you actually talking about after game two? Like, what is it you're actually trying to do? Have you dropped to a level of such incoherence that you actually genuinely believe we should sack a manager 2 games into a season when we've spent £200 million on him and we're clearly going through a rebuild in a system where we've bought players for a system that the next manager won't use? And what happens to the new manager when he comes in and wants to play a new system at the start of a season and has no money to spend? I mean, it's just petulance. I'm not sitting here saying Amrim's going to be a success, but sacking the manager now, I mean, are you real? Are you absolutely real? What benefit is that to this football club to do what we've done so many other times? I don't want to sack a manager in season. I don't want to sack a manager in season. I would rather finish mid-table with Amrim and then sack him in the summer. I do not want to sack a manager in season again. I cannot write another season off. And also, at some point, you've got to stick with an idea, because we've never done that. And bringing in Gary Neville's Valencia record in 28 games, I don't give a shite about last season. It's dead. It was an absolute car crash. We messed up. Amrin messed up. But more importantly, the players and the club messed up. For me, we've played two games. That's all I'm interested in. And you know what? At the end of the day, we drew with Fulham. Fulham are a good side. And we drew with Fulham away. I said when the results came out, when the fixtures came out, Arsenal at home is a tough game. Fulham away is a tough game. Burnley, you've got a win at home. And then Man City away is a tough game. And Chelsea's a tough game. We've got a hard start to the season. Doesn't matter what business we've done, what formation we play, who plays in the midfield, we have got a tough start to the season. And we are going to have a roller coaster. Newcastle lost 12 games and finished fifth. Some context is important. 1 point from six is disappointing, but it's one loss and a draw to Fulham. And even if we did lose to Man City and Chelsea and beat Burnley, it's three losses against the top four. Like, there's a long way to go. It's more important to me that decisions are made around the midfield in relation to dropping players, recruiting players, and getting a goalkeeper in. And we need to get Šeško in that team. That's another thing that we'll probably get time to talk about. But, as I said, sacking a manager at this stage is just nothing short of fantasy, because there is nobody out there that can come in and do anything about it at this point. And also, more important than anything is, I said this with Ten Hag, the patience is getting shorter and shorter when it needs to get longer and longer. With every manager, we're giving them less and less time. From Ollie to Ten Hag, it went down. If you sack Amrin in the next few months, it's gone down again. We have to accept that we needed five key signings this summer and five key sales this summer. We've had no sales and three signings, one of which isn't even ready. So it's absolutely imperative that we try to be constructive in our conversation and try not to disrupt this early, because I don't want to see an Amrin out movement. It will not help the cause at all. And that is why, getting into the news as well, there's a few bits I want to get into. There's lots of good comments coming in. But I saw Rooney, and I like Rooney. You know, Rooney is I like Rooney. I mean, obviously, he's got question marks about his footballing, analysis as a coach. But this is what he had to say. There's no excuses for the manager this season. He's got to get results, and he's got to get the results quickly. Because once you start getting to October, November, I think if the results don't change drastically, that's when the pressure comes. And to a certain extent, I sort of agreed with it. But then he said, it's only two games into the season, but the worrying sign is we're seeing things we've seen last season, and that's a concern. I completely disagree. And I still want to see two or three more players. So there's no more excuses, but he still wants to see two or three more players coming in. There's no more excuses, and we're seeing what we saw last season. And it's this constant need. There's too many podcasts, there's too many ex-players, and there's too many people who have to give a soundbite because this podcast's got to do well or that podcast's got to do well. It's not helpful. No more excuses. We heard it from Ashley Young a couple of weeks ago. No more excuses is a bad phrase to use around Ruben Amrin, because the same excuse, and it is an excuse, is still valid that Ollie had, that Mourinho had, that Ten Hag had. We're starting a season not ready. You cannot, we talk about it every summer transfer window. You've got to get the players in early. You've got to be ready for the start of the season, because guess what? The first three games of the season give you the same points opportunity as the last three games of the season. It's still 9 points, and we've lost five already because we're not ready for this season. Šeško is not ready to start. Mbeumo is not match fit. We don't have a midfielder, and we don't have a goalkeeper. We're not ready for this season. So there are excuses, because for whatever reason, the club again have failed to back a manager to a point where we're ready to start the season. We're not ready to start the season. And even if we were ready, Arsenal would be a very tough game. And even if we were ready, Fulham would be a tough game. So I would question the word usage of no more excuses when quite clearly there are excuses. And what does no more excuses do? It puts it out there into the ether that it's Amorim's fault. And I, again, like many of you, get very tired of the manager being responsible. It's always, oh, no more excuses for the manager. You've got to look at the manager. And it's like, again, this flip-flop nature around this football club of, we all know what the real problem is at Manchester United. We're trying to knock Old Trafford down because we've let it rust and ruin. We're nearly £1 billion in debt. We've got horrific owners who've basically took the club from being one of the most powerful sporting clubs in the world to, you know, a club that's layered with debt. There are huge question marks. And I don't like no more excuses after two games. We've lost to Arsenal and we've drawn to Fulham. Contextually, we lost to Arsenal playing well because a goalkeeper can't deal with a cross. And contextually, we drew with Fulham because our best player had one of the worst games he's had in months and missed a bloody penalty. And can you hit the post? That this context, I'm absolutely devastated that we didn't get a result yesterday. But the result was a win. We drew. We'll beat Grimsby on Wednesday. We'll beat Burnley on Saturday. And people will be going, talking about top four again. Because that's what I was talking about at the start. It's this up, down, up, down, up, down. And what I'm trying to do is just track a path of steady, gradual progression, because that's what I expect this season to be. But we're still hindered by this constant fluctuation. Oh, you can't have a protest because we bought Šeško. We might buy Belieber.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's end-of-season sale is here, and you can shop it from your couch. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, like up to 50% off outdoor furniture and decor, and up to 70% off area rugs, plus amazing doorbuster deals, and 24-hour surprise flash deals on Wayfair home finds in every style. And get it all with fast shipping on everything right to your door. From furniture to faucets, this is your last chance of the season to score huge deals at Wayfair. Don't let the final days of summer pass you by without shopping these end-of-season savings. So don't wait. Like summer, these savings won't last. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off everything home. Celebrate your holiday weekend with can't-miss savings before they run out. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
No, we do need a protest because we've drawn against Fulham. And we need to be patient. We need to be consistent. We need to stay the course. We're our own worst enemy at times. There's plenty to discuss. There's plenty of issues. Personally, this game yesterday reminds me a lot of Brighton. But we lost to Brighton. I was backing Ten Hag at the start of the season. He made a shitload of mistakes against Brighton and we lost. And I went mad. We've drawn against Fulham. There's a lot of mistakes from Amorim there. But the big thing for me is that he's made some really big calls. Like, Onana's done at Man United, by the way. Breaking news, Onana's done. He's been fit for two games and he is not playing. He would rather put Bielsa in goal than Onana. And that gets lost in all the noise. Because the manager is still making sacrificial decisions to his career to make us better in the long term. Onana might be better than Bielsa, but he doesn't want Onana in his team. So Onana is not in the team. And that's a risk because Biyinda cost us the game against Arsenal and he could have cost us a goal from corners yesterday. But Amorim is squaring up to it and saying, look, if I put Onana in goal, these owners are probably going to say, well, you don't need a goalkeeper. So he puts Biyinda in. He sends a message to Onana. He sends a message to the board. I haven't got a goalkeeper. I need my own goalkeeper. These are big calls that he's making, but they're going to have a flip side. Basically, probably would have got a draw out of Arsenal if we'd had a goalkeeper. So beyond some of the decisions he's making big calls. I think the next big call is what he does with Bruno. And some people mention it about Dalot. Managers do have favourites. I think he's done some really good stuff. You know, banning the bomb squad from any pre-season was brilliant. Dropping Onana completely and sending a message that you're not just going to sit on your ass and be my goalkeeper is brilliant. You know, not putting Rasmus in the team because he needs to force him out is, you know, I wouldn't say it's brilliant, but because I don't necessarily agree with that. But from a manager's point of view, you can't knock it. It's strong. He needs to show that strength now, in with Bruno in the midfield. You can't do it. I think ultimately with Bruno Fernandes, we've sort of missed the boat by not selling him in June. Because if you're not going to play him as a number 10, he sort of does become a bit redundant, I think. Evan says, Dalot, Dorgu need a bollocking. No crosses into Šeško, says Evan. Imagine having such petulance as your captain and a key member of Amorim's leadership group. A captain is there to inspire and motivate players, says Sam. I think on the captaincy, it's a very, very quick assessment from me. The problem with the captaincy is Bruno's the best captain we've got, but he's not a good captain. I've seen John Terry, Steven Gerrard, obviously people like Roy Keane, Nemanja Vidic. There are good captains and Bruno is not a good captain, but he is the best captain we've got. Harry Maguire couldn't do it and doesn't start. De Ligt, for whatever reason, isn't even in the leadership group. Casemiro is past it. We don't actually have a captain. Personally, I think in the longer term, we're starting to build characters. People like De Ligt, people like Yoro, people like Cunha, people like Mbeumo. I think these sort of players are going to be useful to us, but Bruno's the best we've got, but I don't think he's the best captain. I don't think he's a good captain. Paul says, rotate the number 10s, move Bruno to a 10, beef up the midfield for God's sake. But if you put Bruno into number 10, why did you buy Mainoo and Cunha? And that's the confusion, isn't it? I said it yesterday. If you need to keep Bruno on the pitch, why don't you put him where Dalot is? I was thinking about it last night. I didn't tweet that. What I said is, if you want to keep Bruno on the pitch, take Mbeumo off, play Cunha and Bruno and put Mainoo where Bruno is. But to keep him in the midfield was just catastrophic to me. You could even put Bruno on the right wing. Why can't Bruno play right wing back? He runs up and down anyway. Put him at right wing back and tell him to put crosses in. I mean, it's wild, but I was thinking about it as I went to sleep last night. I was like, why don't we put Bruno right wing back? You know, if Ahmad's not going to cross with his right foot and Dalot isn't very good, why don't we put Bruno right wing back? He runs up and down anyway. I mean, if you can play in the midfield, you can play right wing back. Like, I'm not saying it's a solution. I'm just saying if you want to keep him on the pitch for the last half an hour against Fulham, put him there. If Mainoo doesn't start against Burnley in the midfield next to Casemiro or Ugarte, then that's when I'm going to get worried. Well, he won't do, Bjorn. We'll beat Burnley with Bruno in the midfield. It's an easy hit. Double D's in the house. He says he has to start making tough decisions and to hell with what people think. He either changes the system or drops Bruno. It's a results business that I want to be loved by everyone business. Not I want to be loved by everyone business, says Double D. Look, the interesting thing was, if you listen to Iwobi and you listen to Marco Silva after the game, it was a pile-on of the tactics because they basically said, you know, with Man United, if you swamp the midfield, they're going to struggle. We've spoken about this many times. Most teams play with a midfield 4-3-3. Ten Hag used to do it. Ollie used to do it. Liverpool do it. Arsenal do it. Most teams play with a 3. And if you look at, you know, prime Man City, when you've got Rodri, let's say Silva and De Bruyne, the work, or Gundogan and De Bruyne or whatever, that midfield 3 has a holder and two box-to-box players. And yes, De Bruyne is very creative and Odegaard's very creative, but the work they put in to supplement that midfield three is immense. Same with Szoboszlai at Liverpool or whoever plays there. We're playing a midfield two, and one of them's a number 10. I mean, for about 20 minutes yesterday, we were playing four number 10s in our midfield. Mount, Bruno, Cunha and Mbeumo. And I sort of had to take a deep breath in the watch along because I was like, we're in the midst of a game here and we might win, but this is crazy. You know, this is like playing Carrick and Fletcher at centre-back at Fulham all those years ago. Like, they can try and do a job, but they are woefully out of their depth. And, you know, if you're going to... Logically, it just doesn't add up. Most decent teams play with a midfield three. We're playing with a midfield two, and one of them is an attacker. So we're basically playing with a midfield one and another guy who doesn't know what he's doing against the midfield three. And everybody knows to swamp our midfield. Honestly, if you're going to play with a midfield two, you need one of your centre-backs to step in, which they don't do enough. And you also need two midfielders that are literal beasts. Like, I'm talking in the modern game, I probably would want McAllister and Gravenberch. I would probably want Enzo and Caicedo. I would probably want Bruno G and Tonali. You know, you want two really good midfielders. We haven't got one. Ugarte's not Premier League proven. Casemiro's finished. Bruno's an attacker. And Mainoo never plays. So we're trying to play a midfield two. And if you're going to play a midfield two, you've got to have two really good midfielders because they're going to be doing the work of three people. And we haven't even got one. So systematically, it's not the problem. People say Amrim's got to change his system. I go back to it again. What were the club thinking appointing Amrim without doing the research on whether we had the money to fund his system and what his system would mean in the Premier League? Because I don't blame Amrim for what's going on in the midfield because he hasn't bought a midfielder. He's not recruited one midfielder. And it's very obvious he needs two. Now, he's tried to get Belaiba, but he actually needs two. You need Wharton and Belaiba. He's not got one. He needs two midfielders. And to say he needs to change his system, why should he change his system? Why did we recruit a guy that needs two really good midfielders and we haven't given him one really good midfielder? So I think it's a huge problem. And let's not forget, 7 o'clock tonight, it's the final countdown, 7 days to go. Let's see your views after next match about Amrim, says Ritik. I don't know what that's meant to mean, Ritik, but I don't actually know what that's meant to mean. I'll leave it there. Mark, like you said, as soon as the games are back, everyone will forget Ineos and focus on Amrim, even though he had three signings and no one sold, says Visco. I remember you saying that you can't replace Bruno with just one player and that you need two players minimum. Well, I think we have with Cunha and Mbeumo, so it wouldn't surprise me if he goes this week, says Stefano. Look, as per yesterday, that Saudi stuff, the bid, and Man United saying it's up to him is not true. But what is true is that Saudi will buy Bruno. So they haven't put a bid in and Man United haven't said it's up to you. But if we wanted to reignite it, it could happen. But
time is precious and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We should have done it in June, because you're giving yourself days to resolve a problem that you could have had resolved. I just think it's too late to do anything about that now. I hope the community will not take this the wrong way, says God Swift. We've been slowly brainwashed into thinking top 10 would be a win. 0.9 points per game isn't Man United worthy, says God Swift. I don't think anybody thinks top 10 is a win. actually, I think people are overreacting about this start to the season. So I actually think standards are very high in this football club, probably too high in this fan base. I like Amrin, but I like Man United more. Amrin is the only manager I know that refuses to adjust tactics mid-game. Amrin in for now, says Dave. Of course, as fans, we can't be happy with the result, but the aftermath of yesterday's game is insane. The system is poor, the manager is failing, and the fans seem lost in what they're shouting for, says John. Why still a believer? Please share, says Hamza. I've just seen a really sad message that I'm going to read out. I'm just composing myself for a moment. The Belabor tweet was last night. I said, I'm still a Belabor. There's still time to go and do that deal. He got subbed off yesterday. There is still time to go and do that deal. And I'm not saying we're going to do it, but he was the player Amrin wanted. We hold talks with him. He's clearly not happy at Brighton. Like, I'm still maybe naive, but I still think that Manchester United need to be moving heaven and earth to do stuff, you know? James, this is the message here. So James Boy said, hi again, just updating. The pregnancy you announced for us, we found out we are twins. But also while me and my father watched the United game yesterday, he passed away before the final whistle. My heart mourned knowing he won't meet the twins. That's so sad, James. I read it and then I misread it and then I read it. And ultimately, it's just tinged with sadness, no matter how much it is. When you were talking about your twins and passing away, my heart was thinking about another scenario. And then I've realized you're actually talking about your father, which is, you know, absolutely tragic. So I think our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family, mate. And it's really sad news. And, you know, I'm sorry you have to share that with us, James. And I can see a lot of people in the community are sharing those sentiments as well. So obviously thoughts with you, James. Slazy says, I'm not Amrin out in any way, but he chose to play with Bruno and Mount in a two-man midfield. Either he's trying to prove a point or we're in trouble. Look, culpability yesterday lies squarely with the manager. Absolutely. I do not believe in extremities of Amrin in and Amrin out. It's silly. Everything's so contextual and layered. But if culpability for the yesterday's game lies with Amrin, hello, we drew. We didn't lose. We drew. We drew against Fulham, who finished higher than us last season. We went to Fulham for their first home game of the season and we drew. We didn't lose. We drew. We didn't deserve to lose. We drew. We didn't deserve to win, but we could have won. We drew. Amrin made some bad mistakes, but in the wider context, where's the midfielder he wants? Where's the goalkeeper he wants? So yes, culpability for yesterday's result lies squarely with the manager, but we didn't lose. And also the bigger picture is, has he been backed for the start of this season? No. I still don't understand why Šeško isn't starting games as well. And I don't believe that it's down to the manager. He will take responsibility, but I don't believe it, because I said this before the game, Man United's fitness department has gone health and safety mad. They basically tell managers, don't play them, play them for only half an hour, only give them 60 minutes, because they're terrified that if Šeško starts the game and gets injured, it will be on them for rushing him into the team. But then at Arsenal, you've got Gyökeres playing full 90-minute games because Arteta knows he needs the points and he wants to get his striker settled in. Gyökeres isn't fit. You can see it. He's not match sharp. Gyökeres is nowhere near match sharp. But they're putting him in because they need the points, because they want to win the league and they want to get their manager, they want to get their striker up and running. Šeško has had more of a pre-season than Gyökeres. People don't realise this because they go, oh, no. Gyökeres signed for Arsenal before Šeško signed for Man United. Yeah, you're right about that. But Šeško was back in pre-season training with Leipzig in early July. Gyökeres was sat on a Mallorcan beach for most of July. Šeško has had a pre-season at Leipzig. He's just not been at Man United that long. So why is he not starting games for Manchester United? It's crazy. We finished 15th last year and we're not starting our £70 million striker in games like Fulham away. Arsenal finished second and they're starting their striker straight away because they want to win the league. Like, it's almost the wrong way round. You'd think Arteta would be like, we've got enough quality to beat Leeds without Gyökeres. Let's get him up to speed. No, he throws him in. We go away to Fulham. Shit last year. We are. Let's wait for Šeško to be absolutely perfect. He should have been in the bloody team. Should have been in the team. I don't think the manager needs to go, but he needs to adapt. If your system isn't working in the game, switch it up. Two in the middle isn't working, says Sean. Sorry, but I want Bruno out of the club. With 9 days left in the window, we could still sell him as soon as possible, says Sal. Victoria says, I believe, very, very generous super chat from Victoria, says that, Mark, are you honestly backing a manager that has more games played than points in the Prem? Can you just be objective about that? I'm intrigued. A back five with United, whilst a generational talent like Mainoo sits on the bench, 4-3-3. Really easy to answer this, mate. Why should he play a 4-3-3? His system has always been a 3-4-3. Why should he change it? Although, why appoint a man? Why recruit a chef and then get him to clean the toilets? We know what he is. As for the points in the Premier League games, I don't care about last season. I don't know why people are talking. It's such mainstream media hyperbole bollocks that you're all swallowing, if I'm being completely blunt. Why are you talking about 28 games and how many points he's got from it? I don't take any notice of last season. He was hung out to dry. He was brought in too soon with a team that was toxic. And it's about this season. He's got 1 point from six. That's all I'm interested in. All I said last year was pre-season needed, transfer window needed. That's when I'll start to judge this manager. We've had a pre-season. I think the transfer window's been shit, if I'm being honest. 5 out of 10 isn't good enough. We didn't lose yesterday. I think people are overreacting. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're back here again after the City game and the Chelsea game. If United don't buy a midfielder, we will be in the market for three new midfielders as Casemiro and Bruno will likely leave. No goalkeeper and Martinez, Shaw, Maguire will also need replacing. So 7 needed again, says Tusha. Things could get worse before they get better. Of course they could. Šeško must play 90 on Wednesday and start against Burnley, says Gareth. Liam says, what an overreaction to a draw away from home. Get a grip. Bruno should have gone. De Ligt has always been overrated. Amrin will be out. I truly believe that. Amrin will be our saviour. I truly believe that. Fans need to get a grip. Liam, I completely agree. Comments of the morning. And more importantly, I just don't. You know, I watched that clip from Maud's. It's well worth checking it out on X. And it made me feel a lot better because I just don't think Amrim's a mug. I don't think he's going to be blind. If I was Bruno Fernandes, I would be worried about that comment that he made after the game yesterday. That basically, you know, Bruno played badly and he was impacted. Let's see. Shane B says, hope you're well. Can you explain your Belabor tweet? I have done that, Shane. Apologies for not coming to you first, but I have done that. Delo and done that from Evan Whelan as well. Okay, let me just catch up on a few more and then we will go back into a little bit more news as well. Flying by this morning, but great to be conversing with a level-headed fan base and community. Genuinely not happy about a lot of things yesterday, but also context is key. We're culpable as well, because we're always projecting opinion and we don't actually take a look at ourselves. Like, there is an overreaction to yesterday, absolutely, like Liam said. And also, we do keep falling into the same traps of, as I say, 2 weeks ago, people were demanding that the 58 stop the protests because we might be buying Belabor. 2 weeks later, people want the protests again. Like, you either want the protests or you don't. You can't be up and down just based on transfers. Like, do you want the Glazers in or do you want the Glazers out? Like, it's as simple as that. Amrim is in a win-win situation, even with a new midfielder, he'll play Bruno. If the Bruno thing works, he's a genius. If it doesn't, he gets a big check. I do not see him dropping Bruno, says Free Immortal. But the only thing I would say, Free Immortal, is that Amrim is not in a win-win position, because if he's done his research, he will realise that you can be sacked by Christmas when you start a season with optimism. Ten Hag and Jose and Ollie, three. All started seasons with optimism, all gone before Santa emptied his sack. So, you know, he's not in a win-win situation. We've all played the game and we all know how this works. So he can't afford to start losing lots of games again. He has to get the results done. And look, I watched the highlights of the game yesterday and we could have had that game wrapped up. I think if Cunha scores that chance that hits the post, we'd have probably gone on to win that game. I think if Bruno'd scored the penalty, we'd have gone on to win that game. The problem was, when we did score, we weren't playing well and we weren't able to hold on to the momentum. Man United are making our new boys look average, lacks aggression, poor passing accuracy, can't cross the ball. What's wrong with Amrim, says Chin. I feel so deflated, Mark. All excitement from the Arsenal performance gone. The Arsenal performance is the exception to the rule, and that's frightening, says Muyad. Victoria says, I sat right behind the United bench for the game and watched Ruben Amrim play Mount and Bruno as a midfield two. We need Iwobi, looks like Yaya Toure. The Prem needs a midfield three. That's why he has 7 wins in 30 games in the Prem. Amrim says Sesko needs to learn the system. In what system is the striker's job not to score goals? I want him to succeed, but he's making it difficult, says Josh. Our fans are just like the media with managers, says PZ. I think some people, unfortunately, and look, I'd level this at Rooney a little bit as well. No more excuses is just not a helpful statement. It's a tagline for a podcast they want people to listen to. It's no more excuses is a terrible, terrible, terrible statement. It's sensationalist, it's inaccurate, and it doesn't help. Unfortunately, we do live in a world where Man United are swamped with people that want to talk about them. And look, we want to talk about them. We're a community, but we have, you know, I back managers. Some of you do, some of you don't. I back managers. I could easily go, let's sack Amrim, and we'd probably get the same amount of people watching. But it would be a toxic, aggressive, and quite rightly, divisive community. And I don't want that. I want proper conversation. So, but there are people out there that they revel in screaming and shouting, you know, stupidity. So I haven't gone looking for it. I know it will be there, but there will be people like demanding Amrim loses his job, or, you know, he's on his last chance, or he's on thin ice and all this, that and the other, trying to sort of direct you to their way of thinking so they can be the cheerleaders for change. But we've done it so many times. Like, we've done it so many times. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. Like, I know it was a very long time ago, but Sir Alex Ferguson did have a couple of crap seasons at United. And then look what happened. And we're not in the late 80s. Football's very, very different now. But it's about time United did actually try and weather a storm and see what happens in the long term. I mean, we are factually trying to reset a football club in a footballing sense. Like, it's not even been a year since we changed from 4-3-3 to 3-4-3. Like, this is a huge change. I would say, is the change too much? Is it possible? But it is going to take time if it's going to happen. I feel that with regards to transfer news, Lemens is obviously going to come in. There has to be a midfield signing this week. If we don't have a midfield signing this week, unfortunately, there is no tomorrow, in the sense that you can look up front and Sesko will get better. You can look at Ahmad and Mbeumo and they will get better. But in the midfield, it will not get better. The midfield is not going to get better, is it? The midfield is what the midfield is. And I read a great point yesterday, actually, that if we'd scored those... If we imagine Cunha's shot that hits the post goes in and we go and win 2-0. the great point about that is that if we'd won 2-0 yesterday because we'd taken our chances early on and we'd got the points, people would be talking about Champions League football. We're still the same team. We're still the same team. But if we'd won yesterday, people would be going, oh, brilliant football. We're going to get Champions League football. Nothing's different. Nothing's changed. We're still the same team that drew, even if we'd won 2-0. But results by propaganda. Results by time. So if we'd won yesterday, we'd be going towards the Champions League. Because we drew, we're going towards the exit door for Amrin. That's modern football. It's just so... you have to have an opinion on every result, and it's got to be good or bad. It can't just be, that's really disappointing, but it's a point at Fulham. Let's beat Burnley. Let's hopefully get something done in the transfer window and then come back against Man City and Chelsea and try and get some points there. Do you think Cobby will leave? The mood has changed, definitely, Arnaud. You know what? I said it yesterday. I'm more than happy to talk about this. With regards to Cobby, why is he signing a new contract? I want him to sign a new contract. Why has he... someone needs to tell Stephen we didn't lose. He says the mood's changed because we lost. I think that with regards to Cobby... like, why... I said it on the watch along yesterday. Over a year ago, he was starting. He did start in the final for England in the Euros, didn't he? He was certainly starting games for England in the Euros in the midfield a year ago. He now can't get a minute for Manchester United, who are shit. So I think with relation to Cobby, I would be asking the question, why am I signing a new contract? Because if you think I'm sitting here as an understudy for Bruno all season, as much as I love it here, I'm better off going and playing for bloody Swindon. You know, there's no point. No point. Our fans are just like the media. His love for Delo and Ugarte will cost him his job, says Playmaker. Scott says, it's not the Chelsea or City game I worry about, it's the Burnley. Look, Scott, I have to be very careful when I talk about Burnley. And those who remember my FIFA career mode will know why. I can't sit here and say it's an easy game against Burnley because there is something about Burnley and me that just doesn't end well for me. So I am not going to sit here and say Burnley is going to be a win, but you have to win that game because if you don't, they're the sort of games that, you know, become very problematic. Ahmad was arguably best player last year and now he's being played at wing back and Bermo is a bit of a bull in a china shop. Why not priority, says Brian. You know what? I think that you raise a good point, but I'm not actually that concerned about Mbeumo because what surprised me about yesterday, and I think you can attribute this again directly to the midfield, was that in the first 10 minutes, we got the ball into Cunha multiple times and we looked good for it. We then stopped doing it. And it's almost like we've got too many cooks spoiling the broth. Because I said it in the match reaction, to be fair, so I won't dwell on it too much, but get the ball into Cunha's feet. When Wolves last season were playing games, get the ball into Cunha's feet. He's our best player. Get the ball into Cunha's feet. Every time, get the ball into Cunha's feet. And the more time you do it, the more chance he's going to do something. With United, it was like, we'll get the ball into Cunha's feet every now and again. Just get the ball into Cunha's feet. Like, he is... for the last 5 years, it's been about getting the ball to Bruno. You can't have Bruno and Cunha. One of them's got to get the ball into feet. Bruno doesn't want to play a 5-yard pass into Cunha's feet. Bruno wants to hit a 50-yard pass. Get the ball into Cunha's feet has to be the thing. Because then if you get the ball into Cunha's feet, he can then feed Mbeumo. Mbeumo wants it into feet as well. So I saw it yesterday. It was very frustrating. We just stopped feeding Cunha. If Sesko starts, Bruno doesn't take the penalty, says Stephen. Well, he will do. Captain, isn't he? I'm very disappointed at Ugarte. £42 million. And while some decent performances here and there, he's nothing but a periphery player, says Andrew. I watched that Brighton game yesterday, says Nick. Absolutely no reason I can see why Belaba was subbed at halftime. One of their better performers. It was odd, says Nick. Do you know Yoro has not started a Premiership winning game for United since he has joined? Oh, he's not started a Premiership winning game. I thought he said he hasn't started a Premiership game. Well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. We have been shit. Could we buy Belaba if we sell Bruno, says Jacob? Nobody can convince me that Mazraoui won't do a better job in CDM. Arguably a better player than a passer than Ugarte, but not Casemiro. Crazy, a manager hasn't been given midfield. I forgot about Mazraoui, actually. Why is Amrim not changing to 4-3-3? Because that's not his position, Luke. Shaw's not good enough either. Ugarte, Mainoo and Bruno all get in the squad, as Mount can be a super sub. I can't believe we're going back to 4-3-3 again. Like, we were shit with 4-3-3. We sacked a manager with 4-3-3. I mean, I don't know why people think 4-3-3. This is exactly what we're talking about, isn't it? It's this flip-flop nature of some people in our fan base that drag us down. Why would a manager that doesn't play 4-3-3 play a 4-3-3? And why would 4-3-3 solve our problems when the last manager got sacked for it? I do despair at that type of conversation, because I think it drags us down to the gutter and we waste time. 4-3-3. What if Amrim is exposing our problems before the transfer window ends? I never agree with that sort of stuff, Sudef. This is exactly the same team from last season, plus three players. We had people believing top four was a possibility. This is Trey. If I give Amrim 10 believers, he'd still play Bruno, says Parker. And why is it every time we get a manager, everyone says they're amazing, then 12 months later, they're awful, says Harry Sinclair. I did the math, and our average points after three games since Sir Alex last 12 is 5.25. average after three games. So that's great, Brog. Thank you. And that's quick maths. So I asked this question at the start of the show. We're never ready for the start of the season. What's our average points over the last 12 years? 5.25, according to Braj. That's shit. 5.25 points average from our first three games over the last 12 years is crap. Really crap. Because we're never ready. Ray, Carl, hope you're doing well. He says, again, we're losing the real issues. The lack of finishing and no service to the forward who is back in the graveyard shift. Great point. I do want to talk about that. I think certain players did not perform and the managers got sacked. Majority of them are still here, says Somnath. Yeah, we'll look, you know, polishing turds again. Only Michael says, over the last 10 years, our points from the first three games on average is 4.8. And over the last 5 years, it's 3.2. It's getting worse. So over the last 12 years, this is clippable, right? Over the last 12 years, our average points from our first three games is 5.2 out of 9. Over the last 10 years, our average is 4.8 out of 9. And over the last 5 years, our average is 3.2 out of 9. So it's getting worse. That's horrific. That is absolute horror. Someone get Neve Campbell on the phone, because that I could scream. That is horror time. 3.2 points on average from the last 5 years based on the first three games. Because we treat August like a preseason. We're never ready. We're never ready. I'm not reading about Alex Crook. Talk shit. Not interested. Sorry. If you want to believe that, that's up to you. I genuinely got no interest in him. I was crying out for Cunha to take the pen, says Selton. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, he's never not going to take it, is he? Alan Noonan says Bruno's frustration after the penalty miss threw the team at that point. The ultimate question is, do we trust these players? I haven't trusted these players since Everton with Ollie, when we got smacked up and we'd just given him a new contract. I don't. Just going back to what Ray Carl said as well about the striker, I think it's a great point, and we may not get as much time as I would like to have spoken about it, but if you don't service a striker, what are they supposed to do? You've got square pegs in round holes. 4-3-3 fits the players like Amrim. It's worthwhile discussion. 4-3-3 until we have the correct midfield. No, Luke, it's not a good conversation. I mean, let me fair. There's a lot of people talking about it. My personal opinion, which I'm entitled to, is the 4-3-3 conversation is one for people with low IQ. I'm sorry if that offends people, but we sacked a manager with 4-3-3 a year ago. 4-3-3 cost Ten Hag his job, and he bought players for a 4-3-3, and we were absolutely shit. So you want a manager that doesn't play a 4-3-3, doesn't like a 4-3-3, to go and play a system he doesn't like that sacked the previous manager? It doesn't fix anything for me. It's just it's a desperate plea for help. I was crying out for Cunha to take the penalties to Selton. The ultimate question, done that one from Aditya. People who think Maynard is generational, if Amrim stays this year, he will be sold next year, I guarantee. I don't rate him or Ugarte either, says Tusha. I think the call for Maynard is just to see what he's, to give him a chance. I think, you know, you might be right. Maybe Bruno is, maybe Maynard is overrated. Maybe he's not overrated. I think he's a good player. But when a player is playing shit, he should be given a chance. Douglas, thank you very much for joining the Members Club. Edward V has gifted 5 memberships. What a legend. Victoria is generously back in the house and says, the same concerning issues that we saw last season are rearing their head already. With a whole new attack, we should have standards. When does his result basis become? God, there's the morning sneeze again. I think it's an allergy to Man United's bad results. Sorry, Victoria. Says we should have standards. When does his result basis become untenable? Any other big club would not stand for this performance from a manager. Look, I've explained it once, I'll explain it twice, so save your money. I don't count last season. This is a new season with a pre-season and a transfer window. I don't count last season. It was shit, mate. It was horrible. If you take me back to last season, you're going to depress me. I'm going to think about Lyon. I'm going to think about the Europa League final. It was appalling. Forget 15th and how many games we lost. Amrim's performance in that Europa League final was horrific. But you got to draw a line under it. It's a new season with a pre-season. That last season, there's no point. I'm not carrying on points accumulations from last season. It's a new season. It's a pre-season. We've had it. The transfer window's not gone the way I wanted it to, but there's still a bit of time. It's 1 point from 6. It should be 2 from 6. It's 1 from 6. It's not the best start. It's not the worst start. It's not Amrim out time. If you have to predict the remaining transfer window, Bruno staying or going and a midfielder coming in, what do you think will happen? Edward, I think predicting the last few days of this transfer window is incredibly difficult. We have to get the goalkeeper in, and I believe we will do that, and that will improve us, although we will need to be patient with him. With regards to the midfielder, we have to do something that we should have done 2 months ago. We have to do something big. Now, would Saudi buy Bruno? Yes. Will Bruno go to Saudi? I don't think so. Do Man United want Bruno to go to Saudi? No. I don't think that happens. So somehow you've got to find money to buy a midfielder now. The question I would ask myself and you is, if the money was there to sell Bruno and buy a Wharton or a Belaba, would you do it right here, right now, 10 seconds to decide? Yes. Because the midfield doesn't work. And if I can take Bruno permanently out that midfield and bring Belaba in, I'll do it. Because Bruno's not going to play where I want him to anyway, because I've got Cunha, Mbeumo, Mount, Xerxes, Ahmad. So I would do it. What amazes me is that we basically replaced Bruno anyway and then decided to put him out of position. That's why at the start of June, I said, take the money. Love Bruno, but he's a number 10. And if you're buying 2 number 10s, you're basically replacing him anyway because he's not a midfielder. So for me, we replaced Bruno, but then kept him. That's the story of the summer. We replaced him with Cunha and Mbeumo, and then we kept him. I don't know. But I don't think we can do anything about it now, but we do have to get a midfielder in. And then having Bruno at the club is going to be a problem unless we put him back as a number 10. Why wingers only send crosses when Maguire comes in, but not Sesko, says Jose. Ahmad, Bruno, Mount, Cunha all playing out of position. That will never work, says Marlowe. Well, Cunha's not Well, I suppose when you, yeah, you're right. I back Amrim and fully support him, but didn't understand why he was looking away during Bruno's penalty and during certain corner kicks, almost like he was nervous. Didn't like seeing that, says Sahil. Look, spade a spade, Amrim might fail and get sacked. I don't sit here as somebody that backs Amrim and say, trust me, it's going to work. No. That would be stupidity. That might not happen. But what I do say is, we're at the start of something where he's not had the full backing of the club. We've spent £200 million. We're still two players short of what he needed. And we finished 15th last year. If people thought we were going to start winning every week with an incomplete summer transfer window when we finished 15th last year, then maybe expectations were set too high. I said we will be somewhere between 5th and 10th. That is quite wide parameters. And as I said, Newcastle finished 5th with 12 losses. 12 losses. You lot are going to be losing your shit when we hit 8. But the team that finished 5th lost 12. You've got to do a bit of research to provide yourself with the patience that's going to be important. 12 losses can still get you 5th place. 15 losses could still get you 8th. We ain't sacking a manager if he finishes 8th. So context is key. It's hard because our expectations are right up there. We want to win leagues and that should never change. I ain't got a problem with people with standards high. Man United should be winning league titles. But where we are in reality, it would be foolish not to expect that there's going to be bumps in the road. And we didn't lose yesterday. My big takeaway, because I've got to go, my big takeaway is that actually the result I can deal with, Fulham are decent, it's, you know, these things happen, we didn't lose. My big problem is just some of the selections. Like Šeško should have started. And if you start Šeško, Mount could have played where Bruno was and we'd have been better off. If we'd have dropped Bruno and played Mount and Casemiro with Cunha and Mbeumo and Šeško, we probably would have won that game based on hindsight. It's got to sort the midfield out. We'll be better with a new goalkeeper and a midfielder. Those two things have got to happen. And I tell you what, as we start a new week, I want to see those stories. That's what I want to see. I want to see those stories. Do you think Maynou will leave? Mate, if Maynou doesn't sign that new contract, then we've only got ourselves to blame. Because if you're trying to get someone to sign a new contract and then you're not giving them any minutes, then we can only be trying to get him to leave, which is just absolute stupidity. I think Maynou will sign the contract. In fact, I've been told for a long time that that contract's ready to sign. But, you know, it would be mad, really. I back Amrim. Thank you very much, Sahil. When did United's board last hold their nerve with an underperforming manager and a team in 15th place? 1990. And it turned out all right, says Sam. I understand the argument that he should stick to his system, but it also irritates me that the managers are so rigid with philosophies. As people will adapt, it's not like he's changing his moral code, says Nick P. Amrim is in a win. I've done that one. Thank you very much. Okay, look, we're back at 2 o'clock. It'll be me at 2. It's another live one. So bank holiday in the UK, but I will be back live with you at 2 and 8. So lots going on today. No, not 8. 7. Because it's Liverpool Newcastle, isn't it, on That's Football? So 7 o'clock tonight, UK time. Do you think we're going to get Belabor? Look at my tweet. Speak to you all in a bit. Thanks for watching.